The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Elissa Walker Campbell with you on this Friday night at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we continue with our college football preview and provide the complete guide to week one of the season. Tonight, so far, we have hit on the Big 12, we have hit on the Big 10 conferences, but right now it is time to narrow our focus on the Mountain West and the University of New Mexico. We are so thrilled to have the Lobos head coach, Bob Davey, joining us. We sincerely appreciate the time, Coach. Thank you.
No, great to be with you, particularly because you lived a little bit out here in this part of the country,
yes.
And I feel like I'm talking to a New Mexico girl right now.
That's right. The land of enchantment, no doubt about it. Familiar with that territory. So let's talk about this. The season opener is tomorrow night at home, a 6 o'clock kickoff against UTEP, a game that many are anxious to see how this is going to play out. I've already been doing the scouting report. I see this as two very similar teams. But my first thing I want to ask you about is, this is your third season with the Lobos. And I know, Bob, you have worked really hard to build a formidable foundation. What is your assessment of the direction that the program is headed? And I really think that you guys are starting to gain some traction.
I think so, but you know, if we do this interview a week from now, we'll both know a lot more. You know, one thing that I've learned through coaching and broadcasting is, you know, this is the time of the year where everybody is encouraged, and the reality is nobody knows for sure. You know, unless you're maybe at Florida State or Alabama or someplace like that. And even there, you know, if you talk to Jimbo Fisher or you talk to Nick Saban today, there is so much uncertainty. But isn't that the great thing about college football? It really is.
Yeah.
You know, you go out there without any preseason game like the NFL. You go out there without any scrimmages like the high schools. You just go out there and put the ball down, and it's 1/12 of your season. I do think we have made progress. I can just tell you this, how we function, how we look on the field. We've got 112 players now. Only 9 of those players we didn't bring in. And it's only our third year. You know, our third recruiting class just got here. So it's really kind of remarkable when you think about there's only 9 players that were here in the from the previous regime. You know, there probably should be 25 or close to 30 if you count fourth and fifth year players. But bottom line, simply, you know, to answer your question, I really think we do kind of have a foundation to move forward. We've got some good young players, but, you know, I just hope we can be good enough, fast enough, that other people see what I kind of see. You know, I'm tired of telling people about it. I want other people to actually witness it.
You are rebuilding this program. What do you think the biggest challenge has been for you?
Really pretty simple, was just the roster, you know, just the number of players left in the program. You know, but obviously there was a culture of having not won. You know, there was a culture of not much confidence, probably a culture of apathy around the community and around the campus towards football. All that I expected, and I knew I went into with my eyes wide open. You know, probably the shocking piece of it to me was just the lack of numbers in the program. You know, our first year we had the lowest number of scholarship players in the country, and as I said, there's only 9 players left, which would be our fourth and fifth year seniors. It just weren't many players, you know, so it was really kind of rebuilding from A to Z, just from a roster standpoint.
You're listening to the voice of Bob Davey, Lobos head football coach, right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. So, Bob, what is the key to accelerating that process, to getting a team, your players now, to embrace the culture and these very high expectations that you have for these young men?
I think they have to taste the success. You know, we've had, you know, bits and pieces of it. You put it into context. You know, this program was 3-33 the 3 years before we arrived, and had been outscored by an average of 32 points a game over that 36 game span. So we've done some things. We just need to get a consistent taste of how good it is to win, and with that will come some confidence. And what will really accelerate it is how quickly can our young players, because we really do have some talented young players, how quickly can they become Mountain West Conference dependable, consistent players? But, you know, we have no excuse anymore. You know, quite honestly, I'm tired of talking about the past. I'm tired of talking about the uniqueness of the roster and the lack of numbers. We have enough guys now. We're young, but we have enough guys, and it's time to move forward.
You know, Bob, you talk about working with young players. I would assume that it's more than physical. As a head coach, you've got to get into their head, you've got to get into their heart, and you've got to build that level of trust with them.
It is that. It is that. You know, it's the connection. You know, you can have the greatest theory, you can have the greatest philosophy, the greatest X and O's, but you have to make a connection with kids. And that's something I feel our staff has done a really good job of. The trust level has risen because now they know what to expect. They know that it's a tough love, brutally honest kind of approach that in the end is the best thing they can do and the best thing they can have access to. You know, because, you know, something I've found since getting back into this game that's probably changed, you know, I get asked that question all the time in the last 10 to 15 years, is just when players are confronted, you know, when it's really hard, they don't accept that quite the way they did 10 or 15 years ago. And you have to make sure you communicate. You have to make sure they understand why you're doing that and what they have to gain from that. But, you know, there's no question. I mean, making a connection with players has been and always will be the key.
Lobos head coach Bob Davey joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We absolutely love hearing from you. Join us at Twitter at E Radio Sports. And, you know, Bob, you have been in coaching for a very long time, and you know this. There are a number of twists and turns that take place throughout the course of a season, a number of ups and downs. And I have to ask you as a coach, when you go through this rebuilding process, how do you stay positive when you're facing adversity and when you have to face difficult situations? Because even at the start of the season, I mean, going into camp, I mean, you had to suspend a couple of players.
It's experience. You know, I think as a young coach, and I know this from experience, when you get that first head coaching job, you have worked so hard to get it. And all you care about at that point is, listen, I don't want to screw this up. I want to win. I have to win. I have to win. And if not, I won't get another opportunity, or I don't have enough confidence that people think I'm a great coach. I think when you do this when you're a little bit older, you understand the process a little bit better. And this sounds funny, but you can almost try to win too fast. Maybe it's a little bit of lack of confidence. I don't know. To me, it's about doing it the right way, really embracing the process. And my experience of going around the country with ESPN, you know, I saw there's a lot of really good coaches out there, a lot of good coaches. And some of them win, and some of them don't win. So I don't panic now. You know, I understand what this process is. I understand you need some good fortune. I understand you need some good players. And I have tremendous confidence in myself, where maybe a little bit earlier in your career as a coach, you know, you just try to win too fast, and everything's about the wins and losses. Where I kind of see the big picture in all this, and I know if I get the time here, which I think I will, eventually we will be as good as we can be, and I'll be comfortable with that.
Lobo head coach Bob Davey is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are up against the clock. We got to step aside for a commercial break, and we will be right. We're getting you set and ready for the start of the college football season tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, the fastest 2 hours in radio, having a wonderful conversation with the Lobos head coach Bob Davey. And, you know, you just mentioned being an analyst, you know, over the, 10, 12 years. Do you lean on some of the advice and some of the things that you observed from, you know, whether it's a Bill Snyder at K-State or one of your good friends, Barry Alvarez, when you're going through those dark times?
Oh, completely. You know, I'm sitting here in my office right now, and I look behind my desk. I've got a quote. Barry Alvarez was actually in my office here a couple years ago.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he took over that situation at Wisconsin.
Right.
There's a lot of similarities. And he's got something he wrote on a manila folder right here for me. It says, Bob, keep the blinds closed when you go into the fetal position. Don't flinch.
Yeah.
And the whole point of that is, in front of the staff, in front of the players, no matter how bad it seems, don't ever flinch. And there's some great advice there, because you are going to go through some tough times, but know a little bit more and have a little bit more experience and a little bit more confidence than all those around you. And when all that chaos is going on, if you have to get in the fetal position that we all do, make sure you close those blinds and have nobody watching.
I have to say, too, do you feel many times like you're a parent, because you're always probably talking to players about staying away from situations that are precarious, that are toxic, talking about probably risk management quite a bit, correct?
Oh, you've got it. You must have read some of my quotes somewhere.
But,
you know, these companies,
I do my homework.
These companies around the country, you know, they spend billions of dollars on risk management. And you know, one thing I found out, you know, players don't always necessarily look forward, you know, for trouble, but trouble sometimes looks for them. And use the experiences of others. You know, just go on that ESPN.com or that Yahoo.com every day and just look at the college football section and learn from other people's mistakes. And think about things, you know, and yeah, I mean, it's every day. It is 24 hours a day of raising kids. And also understanding that, you know, when you're an athlete, stay away from some situations. Just stay away from
mm-hmm.
it. Because if you get in that risk situation, I don't care how good you are, how well-intentioned you are, the results aren't going to be good. So just avoiding some of these risky situations, because, you know, we've all seen firsthand how things just spiral out of control quickly.
Well, you know, these kids are so young, too. How difficult is that for you as a coach sometimes to be able to reestablish that trust, that credibility, and regain that belief that these kids are going to be committed to doing the right thing when they're looking you in the eye?
Yeah, you know, I think unfortunately, you know, sometimes they do have to learn lessons the hard way. You know, you mentioned we had to suspend a couple guys in the spring over a case that has since been resolved, and the case was actually dropped. But they'll be the first ones to admit they should have never been in that situation. And, you know, quite honestly, the day it happened back in the spring, I don't want to go into specifics, but I actually talked about a very similar situation that happened to an NFL player about that same time in the spring, and used that exact example. And then our guys went out and kind of got themselves in the same situation that night. And that's what's really, really frustrating. But sometimes, you know, you learn when it hits so close to home. And unfortunately, sometimes it takes young guys that to see, you know, what happened to teammates, what happened to other people that were right here in this room with me that they know are good people. They know are good people and got themselves in a bad situation. So, you know what, isn't that what life is? It's just that you're playing out all those situations with the public eye, in the public eye, and other people are on that roller coaster with you. You know, what I do to the team. It's all of us
right.
are going to go on that roller coaster after you make that decision. So you've got so much responsibility, even more so now than it was 10 or 15 years ago, because you know this, nothing goes unnoticed.
Right.
Nothing goes unnoticed now. And you're taking the lives of a lot of people with you when you make that decision.
Bob Davey is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And let's move forward. Talk to me about your roster, because it seems like some of the players that you have brought on board, that they can take your program to the next level. Who are we anticipating is going to have a breakout season that we have not heard of?
You know, that's a great point. We have so many players that are playing that our fans will hear their names and watch them play for the first time. You know, and I don't want to go into a bunch of names, but just a couple names of guys. I think we've got a young defensive lineman named Patron Hightower that we brought in here from Dallas, my first recruiting class. Played him a little bit as a freshman. Redshirted him last year. He's been outstanding. You know, really athletic. We've got a young outside linebacker, Donnie White from St. Louis, that played last year as a true freshman for us. We've got two true sophomore corners, Isaiah Brown, Jaden Boatwright. We've got a sophomore offensive tackle, Reno Henderson. We have so many names and so many stories of guys that are young, talented players. And, you know, that's why I'm so excited just to go see what happens. You know, I really want to see these guys and watch these guys progress during the course of this season. And we got a bunch of young guys now, but we have some talent.
Okay, so the Lobos will host UTEP tomorrow night, 6 o'clock kickoff. And as I said, the scouting report has it, two very similar teams. And I think back, what, a year ago, you guys took care of business on the road, beat the Miners, in overtime, 42-35. I know revenge will certainly be a great motivator. What do you see are the keys going into this game?
Well, we're exactly the same. You know, the game last year came down in overtime. We stopped them on a fourth down by 1 inch.
Oh, my soul.
It was literally 1 inch.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm glad we got the spot we got, to be honest. You know, that game was either way. It's two teams that run the football. It's two teams that really had some success last year on offense, and neither team had success last year on defense. So it's both defenses are tired of hearing about how bad they were last year. So it's a very even matchup. I mean, this is really a good football game, and as you know, it's such a rivalry. You know, El Paso is not that far from Albuquerque.
That's true. They've
got really good fan support. I think they'll bring a lot of people up here to Albuquerque. So it's two young teams with a lot of good running backs on the field, and it should be a very, very competitive game.
And I know you guys are going to want to get off to a fast start. We are flat out of time. Bob Davie has been joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Good luck the remainder of the season. We're looking forward to following you and having you back on the program. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. And one thing, if I say this before I leave, I appreciate how you've done your research and how you've done your homework. And you always enjoy doing interviews with people that are well-prepared. And so I respect that very much.
Got to have that be-ready mentality, right, Coach?
You got it. Thank you very much.
You bet. Much more straight ahead at YS. Elissa Walker-Campbell, the show is rolling right along. And let's get back to some NFL news and notes and get a season preview on the Oakland Raiders, since the preseason, it has now wrapped up. A team that struggled mightily in 2013, finished with a 4-12 record. Coming into this year, we're not anticipating that the Raiders will be competing with Denver at the top of the AFC West, but optimistic they will be better, they will be improved. It's a pleasure to welcome in this evening to the Quicken Loans studios on this Friday night, Paul Gutierrez, who covers with ESPN a number of teams in the NFL. He's also the author of his new book, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. Congratulations. Good evening. It's nice to have you with us, Paul.
Thank you very much for having me. My pleasure.
Well, it is hard to believe the preseason has already come and gone. And give us some of the reasonable expectations for the Raiders this year. They have a new quarterback in Matt Schaub, a rebuilt defensive line, and they have more depth. How do you view the season playing out, and perhaps will we see some significant improvement this year?
You know, what's interesting about the Raiders is, With the new regime, so to speak, ever since Al Davis passed away in 2011, this team has really hit the reset button, a reboot, so to speak. And you have a general manager in Reggie McKenzie entering his third year, a head coach in Dennis Allen entering his third year. And even the owner, Mark Davis, the son of Al Davis, he's gone on record as saying that, well, the first 2 years of this project, so to speak, were kind of a deconstruction of the Raiders. Now they're entering the second phase, which now we're in year one of the reconstruction. So what you're seeing is they've gone out and they've acquired a lot of veterans with success, guys like Justin Tuck, guys like Lamar Woodley, James Jones, who bring not only winning pedigrees, but evidence of that with Super Bowl rings, too, to show these younger guys the draft picks that they picked up. This is at the end game. This is how you win a Super Bowl. This is what you get when you buy in, when you sell out, when you do things like that. And then it's also showing the veterans, the guys that have been on the Raiders for a while, guys like Marcel Reese, Darren McFadden, that, you know, they may have been playing in the darkness for a lot of years, but there is light at the end of that tunnel. So I think they have improved that roster, but the schedule this year, honestly, is so brutal. It's so tough. I'm not so sure that it's going to translate into more victories. I think they will be a better team, but I'm not so sure that they're going to be able to improve significantly upon the past 2 4-12 seasons, which would be a little discouraging for a coach that needs to win to show that he deserves to stick around with the Raiders.
Paul, you talk about the reconstruction process, and I'm glad you bring up the fact that the Raiders, they brought in so many veteran players, players that have, in fact, of course, been a part of championship teams. What is the timeline do you anticipate that they will be able to right the ship?
Well, I think what Mark Davis, he's as he's told me himself, you know, he's a patient man, but he's also, he wants to see some results. He wants this team to compete. Now, he said himself he doesn't expect the team to be in the running for a Super Bowl, but he expects them to be competitive. He wants to see, you know, to get into the playoffs, because once you get into the playoffs, it's a grab bag. You're not sure exactly what's going to happen. Anybody can win on any given Sunday, especially in a watered-down NFL. So I think what they're realistically looking at is making some improvements this year, possibly gaining a wild card spot. And like you said at the top, I don't think anybody's expecting them to compete with Denver in the division. But if they can build some continuity and some confidence, I think you're looking at maybe another year or two away before they let the homegrown talent. Because that's something else, that when Reggie McKenzie came in, he had to deal with what he termed salary cap hell and out-of-whack contracts, and just get the financial books in order so that they could go forward. Now, the flip side of that coin is, sure, you have all this money now that you can spend, but what makes you an alluring target for a free agent that's out there in his prime, as opposed to, and this isn't taking a shot at the Justin Tucks, the Lamar Woodleys, but they're on the other side of 30. What's going to make you an alluring target for a guy that's in his prime to want to come and play for a situation where they need a new stadium and you're not exactly sure where they're going to be playing in 2 years anyway?
Yeah. Hey, we are so glad you're with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are gearing up for the start of the NFL season, going one-on-one with Paul Gutierrez. He is a writer, an author, and, of course, his new book that is out, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die. So let's do a quick recap, Paul. To be honest with you, the preseason, it did not go well. And who are the Raider fans? Who are they pointing to, perhaps they're directing their frustrations at from the preseason?
You know, if it's not the coach, then it's the quarterback.
Uh-oh.
You know, that's the theme that goes through any
so true.
Team, and in the NFL especially, the most popular guy, the guy that gets too much credit when things are going well and gets too much blame when things are going bad, is the quarterback. And when they go out and, you know, they jettisoned Carson Palmer a couple of years ago after a 4,000-yard passing season for a bad team, and then they bring in Matt Flynn and he flops. They draft Wilson out of Arkansas. He flops. They bring in Matt Schaub, and it appears that Matt Schaub may not have the continuity that they need. And you look at him; he suffered through a crisis of confidence in Houston last season. But he comes to Oakland, and he comes, and there's no established number one wide receiver. They have a lot of younger guys and older guys that are no longer in their prime. So you just have to realize that he doesn't have Andre Johnson to pass the ball to. So fans are definitely zeroing in on Matt Schaub. And like I said earlier, the quarterback is the most glamorous position in the game. So the most popular guy then is always going to be the backup quarterback, and that's the guy that they just drafted this year, Derek Carr from Fresno State. He already has a built-in fan base here in the Central California Valley. So a lot of people are starting to bang the drum for him, much the same way that they banged the drum last season for Terrell Pryor.
So I hear you saying, Paul, is there a quarterback controversy already taking place?
You know what? That would sell, I guess, you know, 10 years ago we could have said it. That would sell newspapers. But, or maybe now we just say that would get a lot of clicks on the Internet for people to read the stories. But I wouldn't say there's a controversy yet, because for the Raiders to do that would mean that they would admit that they missed badly again on a quarterback, and I don't think they want to do that yet. I don't think, you know, Matt Schaub is definitely a different breed of quarterback, so to speak, than Matt Flynn was. He's already had the success, but you just wonder about his confidence going forward. He sat out the preseason finale, and Derek Carr got some reps, so you have to just see and let it play out. And again, I'm not so sure that Derek Carr is ready to step in. You know, the past 3 years at Fresno State, he ran a spread offense. He's still relearning how to run a pro-style offense by getting set up under center. So quarterback controversy, I don't know right now, but it would not shock me if it happened early in the season.
Okay, so Raider fans, they were counting on Matt to be the guy, and he has not impressed in the preseason. He certainly had his fair share of ups and downs. But what about, I think he's been battling a little bit of a sore elbow. He's had an injury there, correct?
Correct, and that's the interesting thing. That's the parallel, the eerie parallel, really, to last year, is that it was at this exact same time last year when Matt Flynn, the anointed savior, the franchise quarterback, suffered from a sore elbow, and then he lost out to Terrell Pryor going into the season, and before the season was a quarter old, really, Matt Flynn was gone. So I don't think this is going to be the same route, but it is interesting the way that it's kind of starting out.
Paul Gutierrez is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We want to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. So tell us some more about the backup quarterback in Derek Carr. Are you a fan of him, potentially? What he will be able to bring? I mean, it seems like he's got a lot of upside. He's dynamic. He's young. I understand he's got a high IQ. But, you know, when you bring in a rookie, it's going to take some time to acclimate.
Yeah, especially if you don't have a lot of talent around the rookie. I mean, even when you look at somebody like a John Elway and you look at how badly he struggled as a rookie, because when you get a quarterback and they're drafted fairly high, that means that there's not a lot of talent around them to begin with. So they're going to struggle initially until they build up the team around them. That's just the nature of the game. But when it comes to Derek Carr, what's interesting about him is, you know, his older brother was the number one overall pick in the draft. So when Derek was 12 years old, he was already going over with his older brother NFL game tape and things. And that's one thing that the Raider coaching staff has talked about, is just how mature he is for his years regarding NFL schemes and watching tape and video and breaking down and dissecting things. So I think he definitely has a head start that way. But the game is just going to come a lot faster. The one thing that I will say that I don't know if worries me is the right phrase here, but when he drops back in the pocket to pass, you get a sense that his internal clock is not up to speed yet with the speed of the NFL. I mean, this is not the Mountain West Conference. This is the NFL, and he stands back there, and he holds on to the ball a long time. And it reminds me a lot of an old-school guy, Dan Pastorini, who used to sit back there and pat the ball before he'd throw it, but by then he'd get killed by some speed rusher coming off the edge, and the game is a lot faster now, especially at this level than in where Fresno State played.
You know, Paul, I have to wonder, too, how patient and willing will the Raider fans be in terms of if it's going to be Matt or if it will be Derek? I mean, what's the timeline in terms of that?
Yeah, you know, fans are already kind of turning on Matt Schaub already. And you know, if you use Twitter as your barometer, because we all know that Twitter is very safe and sane, right? The fans are going to turn pretty quickly, especially, you know, the first time Schaub throws a pick six, you know, because he had that stretch last year where he threw it in four straight games, which is really unfortunate for him. But the first time he throws a bad interception or that, the Boo Birds are going to come out of the Oakland Coliseum. And, you know, outside of Yankee Stadium's Bronx salute, there's no uglier feeling, so to speak, in sports. So, yeah, I think the life, the preserver Schaub is not going to be thrown to him too quickly. I think they really want to see what the kid can do, but unless they can win some games, and if he looks fine and he's a good game manager, they'll stick with Schaub.
Sports writer, author Paul Gutierrez is joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I know we're focusing a lot on the quarterback position, but I have to ask you this too. I mean, do you have the belief that Matt could perhaps return to an elite level? We saw him in 2012 with the Texans. I mean, and when they made that postseason run, I mean, is he still an elite quarterback, or does he still have that potential to be?
He believes he is, and no doubt that his head coach believes he is, and that's half of the battle, is just believing it. But again, as you saw him firsthand there in Houston, he had a lot more weapons around him. He had Andre Johnson, you know, running out there and sure-handed and catching the ball, and you know, an all-pro running back back there. With the Raiders, you got a lot of guys that are just trying to find their role and trying to piece things together. I'm not sure if Matt Schaub is a franchise-type quarterback to take an entire team on his back and lead them so much as just kind of be one of the guys. And you wonder if that's really in his personality either to be that fiery leader or just to kind of be lead by example.
Okay, we're zeroing in on the Raiders. Going to get another quick hit. What about the offensive line, the assessment that the job that they've done throughout the preseason and keeping those defenders off of Matt?
Well, they have not. That's part of the problem. They haven't been able to keep the first-team defenses off of Matt Schaub. And as a result, you get somebody who's a little more mobile, a little smaller, and that's Derek Carr. And the same type of situation played out last year with Terrell Pryor. Because the offensive line was so banged up last year, you needed somebody behind center that had the mobility to escape, you know, to get out and to create plays. And that's what Terrell Pryor was able to do. Derek Carr has a little bit more escapability than Matt Schaub, who's more of a pure drop-back passer. So the offensive line, it is rebuilt. It's bigger. It's stronger. But it's not showing itself against the pass rush, at least not yet.
Okay, time has flown by. One more time, tell all of our listeners tonight where they can go out and get a copy of your book, 100 Things Raider Fans Should Know and Do Before They Die.
Yeah, it should be in your local bookstore. And if you want to just check out triumphpublishing.com, it's there. It was a labor of love. It's 100 short stories just trying to wrap up one of the more fascinating and intriguing franchises in not only the NFL's history, but in all of sports.
Yes.
From Al Davis to the current Raiders, to the highs, the lows, the Tuck game, the immaculate reception. I was able to talk to a lot of different guys to get their spin on things and to tell it through their eyes and through their voices.
Well, it is a wonderful walk down memory lane. Talking about the Raiders, Paul Gutierrez has joined us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Paul, you're a fabulous guest, and we look forward to having you back on with us right here at Yahoo Sports Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Absolutely. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this evening. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. Okay, Alyssa Walker-Campbell inside the Quicken Loan Studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And indeed, it is a very big weekend in college football. But right now, as we close out tonight's show, we're going to completely shift gears. We're going to take time for a very special book review. Professional cyclist Catherine Bertin is with us. She has just released her new book. It is titled The Road Less Taken, Lessons from a Life Spent in Cycling. And it's wonderful to have you with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, I am thrilled to have you with us because I'm so inspired by your journey and your decision to pursue a career in professional cycling, because I have to share with all of our audience and our listeners tonight, you had a very successful career in print journalism. I mean, you worked for ESPN. Tell us, what was the decision to make such a life-changing decision to totally embrace and pursue the sport of cycling?
I think it really had a lot to do with the fact that I had I understood the concept that when you're a professional athlete, or if you have a chance to pursue sport, at your peak, that's not something you can do for all of your life. And so I realized, like, okay, this is my window of opportunity. I'm in my 30s. This is the time when cycling and other endurance sports really favor, a woman's physiological sense of endurance and power and strength. So I said, okay, this is what I want to do. This is my time, my window to do it. So I kind of took that chance of saying I can do the rest of, a typical life a little bit later. And I'm just going to kind of jump in and see how far I can go on the bike.
I thought it was great, too, in the book you talk about the choice to pursue cycling meant choosing bicycles over babies, highways over a husband, carbon fiber over a fortuitous career. And as I said, you were a very successful print journalist with ESPN. This is dramatic change. How was this received within your family and your friends? I mean, to be able to pursue your dreams and make this a reality.
Well, I think, I have had a lot of support over the years in terms of people saying, definitely go for what you want to do, make it happen. So in that regard, I feel that I've had that kind of support, that people stand behind anybody who takes a chance, really. The other thing, too, with journalism and with writing is that luckily that's a career that you can kind of take with you. You don't necessarily have to be office-based to pursue the journalism side. So I was still working off the bike, and still am to this day, on projects like series, a column or a series, recently a documentary film. So I was doing, additional things off the bike as well.
Professional cyclist, author, and activist Catherine Bertin is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And I really can understand how you could get consumed and fall in love with the sport of cycling. I thought it was great in the book that you provide a Q&A, what it is like, life as a cyclist, and you give us a sense of what it's all about.
So what is life like as a cyclist? Well, this is a sport where and this is true of many professional sports on the women's side. We don't always make, we don't make a living necessarily doing just this sport. We have to do other things to support ourselves as well, because the financial structure of the sport is still really getting off the ground. So in that regard, if you're going to pursue a life in professional cycling, you also have to have a few things in your back pocket. It really helps to have your education. It helps to have some part-time jobs, maybe in some cases a full-time job. So you have to really understand that going into a sport like cycling, you're going to need to be well-rounded at this particular day and age. So that's something that I really came to understand. The other thing, too, is that this is such a remarkable sport. The sport of cycling is incredible. Not only does it give you, you know, fitness and health benefits and, you know, of course, the racing aspect of being competitive, all of that is great, you know, and any sport will do that. But I think there's something really special about cycling because it's one of these sports that you can do with people in a social setting as well. So you can be a professional athlete and be racing all over the place and really working hard in that capacity, but then you can also go for a bike ride with friends or, you know, ride down the street to get groceries or have coffee. So you can use the bike as a vehicle in so many ways in life, and there's something about that that's really, it's grounding. It's also very special, you know, so that's something that I've really, truly enjoyed is seeing how the bike has transpired from, you know, a true sport to something that I, you know, I do on an everyday basis, even if it's not in a competitive manner.
You know, Catherine, there's so many great women athletes in the sport, and you talk about in the book the obstacles female athletes face as they move up the ladder and that we're trying to strive to more to get more equality between the men and the women's sport. Just a quick hit here.
Yes. So it's this amazing sport that's also very frustrating. So there are some of the issues that we face are that women in the sport of cycling are not given the same race opportunities as men. There are far more races on the men's calendar than there are on the women's. We don't have the infrastructure within the teams where women are paid as much as the men, largely because the women's races aren't broadcast on TV in the same regard, and therefore sponsors don't know that it's even a sport that can be backed in terms of visibility and, you know, product sponsorship. So we're facing these hurdles that are very, very easy to change if we can get the media and the marketing on board, you know, to open that door of sponsorship and viewership. So these are some of the hurdles that we've been facing. But the great news is that the women in the sport are speaking up.
Yes.
And saying to the federation, saying, hey, look, this is, you know, this isn't 60 years ago. We are now in full force and we should be given the same opportunities.
Catherine, I know we're short on time. We sincerely appreciate you dropping by.
Thank you so much.
That, of course, was Catherine Bertin, professional cyclist, author, and her new book that's out is The Road Less Taken, Lessons from a Life Spent in Cycling. We want to thank all of our guests and our lineup tonight. Bob Davey, the Lobos head football coach, Jason Peter with our Under the Helmet segment, James Hale, and Paul Gutierrez. Be sure and join us each and every week for the biggest, the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at yahoosportsradio.com.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.